Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in God's house tonight?
Yes.
He is worthy. All praise, all honor, and all glory. And if you don't know, we need each other. We do. We really do. And we have to stick together. Body of Christ, friends, family, we all have to be one. Amen. Father, I thank you for this time where we're going to go before you in the word. I pray that each and every heart would be lifted high, filled with encouragement, filled with your presence. And I pray, Father God, that as the word goes down deep within our spirits, that you would do the works, you would produce the fruit that's needed. We give you honor and glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about the basilisk spirit has returned. For those of you who don't know, this is a yearly event that takes place, a 21-day period of testing and trying where a high-powered demonic spirit is released. And it's released against the Jewish people, and it's released against the body of Christ. And we're going to talk about this tonight because you need to be made aware of how to combat it. And the reason why I started out saying we all need each other, we have to be in unity and we have to be in one mind and one accord so that we can defeat this thing in this season. We will be talking about the season called Ben Ham Teram by the Jewish writers. This term means between the straits or dire straits. Lamentations 1, verses 1 to 3 in your Bible. Jerusalem's in affliction. How lonely sits the city that was full of people. How like a widow is she, who was great among the nations, the princess among the provinces, has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks, among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity, under affliction and hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overtake her in dire straits. We know the season of dire straits as the season of the basilisk. This season is a 3-week cycle that begins every year on the 17th of Tammuz, extending until the 9th of Av in the Judaic calendar. Now, I gave everyone a handout, and it explains the Jewish calendar, and this would be very handy for you to use next year whenever we come back into this season again. But if you look at the picture there, it explains. It shows you the 12 months of the Julian calendar, the Gregorian calendar that we use, and it explains that there is a leap year, and on a leap year there's 13 months in the Jewish calendar, and these cycle back over several periods of time. So take that and read it, and then study it. This year's season started on July 9th, 2020, and will end on July 30th, 2020. So we are already in the midst of this attack that's going on against the body of Christ right now. Has anybody by show of hands noticed an increase in the battle on this last week? It's been extreme. It's been very, very severe. And I would like to point out a difference this year versus last year. Many spirit-filled churches are not meeting on a regular basis. Some of the spirit-filled churches don't have technologies in place like email, text messaging, and video conferencing to remind members of the church of what is going on. And I need to add in there, too, that some people have just abandoned church altogether. So they don't know what's going on. So we as the body of Christ are supposed to be able to know what's going on so that we can tell the people in the world what's going on and how to combat it. So if they're not meeting, if they're not hearing the truth, how are they going to tell and give people hope? This being said, We make serious efforts to provide you with real-time information of the battles as the Lord shows us. And it's important that you take those messages seriously, especially if something gets sent out in an email. Read it. It's very important. It will help you go through the battle. We have no excuse because God provides us prophetic words and prophetic information ahead of time. And it takes being in the body of Christ to be able to say, hey, remember, this is what God said. Sometimes the prophetic word is personal and you have a little personal battle that you have to go through. Sometimes it's corporate. The whole body of Christ is going through it at the same time. For example, God spoke to Pastor Barbara a number of years ago and said she was going through a Job experience. That passed, and then God spoke to her and said the whole body of Christ is going to go through a Job experience. So it's important that we draw together so we know what's going on. That way we can lift one another up and stay ahead of the game. I was thinking back there tonight during praise and worship, we won already. Do you understand that? We won. And you don't think about that in the midst of your battle, the hard time that you had this week. You just think about the pressure and when is this going to end? And, you know, why is this happening to me? And then if you're not careful, you can get into a woe is me type, you know, and let that atmosphere settle over top of you. But tonight, it's settled in my spirit that we've already won. We've already defeated this season. And it's in Christ. It's in Christ, and because we're drawn together into the house of God. And we're not letting these different things that are going on in the atmosphere affect us. Yes, it's hard, and we're not denying that. We're not taking anything away from that. But as we're drawn together, we're gaining the strength that we need. Can you imagine if we weren't able to really come into the house of God, how hard it would be right now? It would be terrible. It would be very terrible. So we need to be grateful and thankful for the leading of the Holy Spirit to keep these doors open, to keep the anointing flowing, because we need it in this season. I remember about 10 years ago, Pastor Barbara asked the congregation under the Holy Spirit, what would you do if you could not get to me? Would you be able to survive? And a lot of people shook their head and said, yeah. And I believe at the time we were thinking about natural disaster type scenarios, floods, storms, power outages. I do not believe anyone fathomed the entire country being on a mandatory quarantine or shutdown. Nobody thought about that. But it was something that God was doing to prepare us for this time period that we're in right now. I believe the reason this basilisk season is hitting people strong right now is because on some level the church is slowed down in consecration, prayers, fasting, and intercession. And we have to maintain that pace. During this season, we need to take extra time to intercede, not only for ourselves, but for other members of the body of Christ. You need to understand real deeply that we need each other like never before. The key to defeating this spirit in this season is using the authority of Christ. We want to stress the great need for consecration, repentance, and prayer. This is a daily walk. This is something that where you have to take your cross up daily. You know, repentance and consecration and prayer is not just one time and done. The next day, you know, God shows you more stuff about you that you have to consecrate to Him, that you have to rededicate to Him, and you have to have Him get rid of it. And you do that so that the enemy doesn't gain a stronghold inside of you to pull you down. The enemy is trying to bring a level of discouragement to God's people so that it would get our eyes off of God. And it would keep us from focusing on the many, many promises that we have from Him. So when we're going through our consecration and our repentance and our prayers, we can't stay in a place like God said this morning, dwelling on our past. It's over with. You messed up. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Now it's time to go forward. Now it's time to move into that next phase and that next place. If we allow the enemy to keep us there, we won't move forward. And one of the biggest things that the basilisk wants to do right now is to point the finger of blame at you and say, well, you should be in a better place right now. You shouldn't be here. And you can't allow the basilisk spirit to do that. This principality and power wants to kill you spiritually. It just does. It wants to destroy everything spiritually in your life. It wants to take your gifts away. It wants to take your physical breath away. And it wants to take your seed, your future. Anything that God has been trying to give you prophetically. Children in the spirit. Gifts in the spirit. The basilisk spirit is trying to steal this away from the body of Christ. But we, as we're banding together and saying no in the authority of Christ and pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, we're stopping this, and we've won. Repentance will always bring forth times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Repentance will always bring forth times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. God is so good. He's so good and he's so gracious. When we say we've messed up, he comes in, he brings us new wind, new breath, new life. He cleans us up and he says, go on. He's not there saying, you dirty little thing, you. He's not. He's pushing us forward and saying, come on, let's go. Genuine sorrow that is not merely the articulation of our mouths, but the incentives of our hearts will also pave the way for the impartation of righteousness and divine authority necessary for defeating our enemies. When you have that genuine repentance, you're going to be able to speak the words that need to be spoken to the enemy and say, no, I've won already. You're pointing these accusation thoughts against me. You're bringing this condemnation against me. But God said there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And I can take the word of God and slice you into pieces, and you have to stop your works. I can take the word of God and say, you can't touch my family. All hell is breaking loose with them right now, but God has given me a word. He's given me a promise. They are going to serve God. And no matter what I see with my natural eyes, this is what's going to happen. And we can take that to the enemy, and he runs. When we know the truth, when the truth is inside of our heart, despite what our circumstances say, despite what we see with our eyes, we can use that as weapons against the enemy and stop him dead in his tracks. The scriptures declare that our Savior came into this world to destroy the works of the devil. Destroy. That means leave nothing left. No remnant, no trace, no piece of him at all. Anything that he's tried to set up inside of you to draw you backwards or to stop you is completely obliterated. He has chosen his church as the instrument through which this victory is to be manifested. He chose us. He chose you. Make this personal tonight. He chose me to do this works. Say that to yourself. He chose me to set other captives free and to bring them out of the darkness that the enemy is trying to ensnare them in. Daniel 9 records the great prophet repenting for his sins and those of his people, leadership and forefathers for not having obeyed the word of the Lord to obediently walk in his teachings. Like Israel of old, we have allowed the spirit of the world to invade our lives, promoting compromise and spiritual error. Sincere repentance will touch the heart of the Father, releasing spiritual ammunition to defeat basilisk. Sincere repentance will touch the heart of the Father, releasing the spiritual ammunition to defeat basilisk. Psalms 91 has been given to us as a scripture of protection, an instrument of war against this evil spirit. The church has been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Authority and victory in Christ must be rightly appropriated through the body. That's through us. Here's the hard thing. God is waiting on us to take the authority and to use it against the enemy. He's given us all the tools. He's given us all the weapons. He's given us all the words that we need. We have to use them. He's not going to come down here and say them for us. We have to tell the basilisk spirit. We have to tell whatever spirit that's coming against our family and against ourselves, no more. Again, going back to the message this morning, God said that. He said that. We have to tell whatever enemy is coming back from our past, this is done. You can't keep me held here in this bondage anymore. I'm moving forward. Let's look at Psalms 91. Psalms 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. All of these things up into verse 4 right now are things that are active, and we can take them to use against the works of darkness. We can use them against this basilisk spirit. Starting again at verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night. We don't have to be concerned about this basilisk spirit, even though it gets stronger and stronger each year. We can hold fast and hold true to the truth that God is going to be with us, that God is going to deliver us. Verse 6, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. It shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. No evil. You can declare this. You can stand on this. You can walk in this. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. You have to draw that bloodline and say, devil, you're not coming across this line. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my wife. You're not taking my children. You're not taking my money. You're not taking my ministry. Whatever it is that the devil's saying, I got it. I got it. And one more time and they're going to be completely done. I'm going to take them completely out. No, devil, no evil shall befall me. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. We have to use our angels in this season. We have to use our angels in this season. We cannot go one day, one moment without using them because we're constantly under attack. Do you realize the anointing that you carry is meant to set other people free? Do you realize that the enemy is trying to keep you from using that anointing, and he's attacking you because he doesn't want you to go forth? He doesn't want you to gain any confidence. He doesn't want you to build any more trust inside of God. And if he knows that if you break free, that he's done. But do you know it? Do you know it down on the inside of yourself that you have that much power and authority in Christ? And we've got to climb to this place and stay there. Never leave that place again. Never leave that place of belief and trust in God that he truly does have our back. Verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. But because he has set his love upon me, where is your love at? Is your love upon Christ? Is your love upon God? If it is, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The Lord is with us. We have the victory. And when we get in these battles, when we get in this fog, we have to remind ourselves of that. And we have to realize that we all have battle buddies. Every one of us has been assigned a battle buddy by God that is praying for you, that is lifting you up. Even when nothing is being said, they know that something's going on. There's some activity. There's something in the spirit that's off. And God is leading them to pray. You have your battle buddy. You have your angel. You have many angels that God is using to keep you protected and to keep you safe in this season. And you can trust and rely upon them. The Lord has given us specific permission to call upon heaven for the release and activation of the mighty warring angels, including the distinguished Archangel Michael. This is special, and this happens in this season of the basilisk. God gives us special permission. So when you get into dire straits and nothing is working, remember to call upon the angels. Call upon Michael the Archangel. Repentance and steadfast faith in the declared word provides a protection against this identified enemy. In so doing, our sanctified hearts would then be prepared for the release of the divine authority necessary to defeat this enemy. So, stand with a repentant heart, keeping your faith in the place that God has ordained for it to be in, is giving you all the ammunition that you need to be able to defeat this basilisk demon. We don't have to fear it. The scripture declares our foot shall be placed upon the scorpion and the basilisk, not because of any strength of our own, but because of the great victory appropriated to us through Christ. So this isn't a thing where we get in pride and say, I'm doing this on my own in my own flesh. No, we're doing this through the Holy Spirit. We're doing this through the faith that God has given us, the measure of faith. And everybody in here has been given a measure of faith. You don't have to get any more. You don't have to work it up. You use the measure of faith that God has given you, because what he gave you was enough to accomplish every task that he has for you. The church has been given authority to deal with the spirit. Yet mankind has perished throughout history because of the lack of knowledge concerning this enemy and the appropriate application of our Savior's triumph over all opposition. What this is saying is we have to learn when to apply and use the authority of Christ. We have to know when to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, when to use the angels, when to cry out to God, so that we can gain the victory in the season. In Luke 10:19, the Lord promises that he has given us authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means injure us from an eternal perspective. Nothing shall harm us. Our Lord in his grace has given us this insight into the plans of the enemy for the purpose of equipping us with the blueprint for success in defeating this adversary. The more we understand his plans and purposes, the more capable we will be to pray with pinpoint precision. So the more that we understand that this is a cycle, the more that we understand that we already have the victory, the more that we understand that we use Psalms 91, the blood of Jesus Christ, the holy angels, it becomes a little bit easier to battle when that pressure hits you, when all is being squeezed out of you. Sometimes it feels like you're just being oppressed and pushed in from the sides and pushed in from the top and the bottom, and there's just like nowhere to go. And when you're encountering that, that is the time that you have to really trust that God is there. Trust that God sees you. Sometimes when you hear the prophetic words that are going out to different people, God's heart is going out to them because he's trying to convince the people that I am there with you. You're not alone. I know what this trial is doing. I know what's going on, and you're not alone. And sometimes you need to hear God tell you that. You need to hear God tell you that in your spirit. And if you're not able to hear it in your spirit, God will send somebody your way to speak it to you prophetically so that you have the strength that you need to continue on and to move on in the fight. We're in a war. This war is not over until we leave this earth. It's always going to be. And we have to get a warrior mindset that we are fighting. And we're fighting not only for our lives, but the lives of our loved ones and the lives of those that God has called us to. And sometimes we're looking for seasons of rest, and it's not a time to rest. It's a time to take your sword and just get to slicing. And this is hard because you think, well, I just come through a battle. Shoo. All right, I get to rest. No, it's time for another one. And you get halfway through that one and another's starting, and you start seeing another battle forming somewhere else. This is what God has been talking to us about for years now, how times are changing. Things are speeding up. Things are escalating. You know, it used to be you would go through a battle and it'd be 6 months. You would have 6 months of peace and happiness and tranquility, and then you would get another battle. Now, before you get out of one battle, three more have started, and they're all in three different directions. This is the truth of the reality of where we're at. But as we keep our eyes focused on Christ, we'll be able to complete the mission. One thing that I believe that God wants us to understand with this season that we're in, we have to make a choice daily. Lord, I'm going to do your will. And it's just like Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but your will be done. I choose to drink this cup that you have placed before me. Some of us have a cup of suffering that is huge. Some of us have a cup of suffering that is small. Whatever size it is, it's still the cup that you're supposed to drink. And you have to daily make a choice to drink that cup. When you're standing there saying, I don't know if I want to do this, or if you're standing there saying, I don't know if I can take any more, God is with you, and he's given you the ability to make that decision to go forward, to make that decision to accept your lot in life. He's given you that ability to accept what it is that he wants you to do. The sooner that you accept it, the pressure goes away. The pressure goes away and you see God, you feel God, you know that he's there with you in the midst of everything that's going on. The Lord also has his plans and purposes, plans for welfare and not for calamity toward those obediently following his divinely ordained strategy. When you do the will of the Lord, everything lines up. Nothing could be more rewarding for a Christian than to find favor with God by willingly offering ourselves as instruments of righteousness. There has to be a willingness. Instruments of righteousness, hating what he hates and loving that which he loves. This can be accomplished at least in part by committing ourselves faithfully to this battle, both individually and corporately. So, on the individual level, we have to make a commitment to serve God. But as a body of Christ, we have to make a commitment to serve God as well. We're going to stand together as one. We're going to stand together against the basilisk demon. We're going to stand together against the forces of darkness that are coming into the state of Delaware because we want to see revival go into Delaware and the lower Delmarva Peninsula. It's a commitment. And when you make the first commitment individually, you're expected to make the next commitment corporately because that's your position in the body of Christ. It's not just an individual walk. God placed you in a body so that you could help that body grow forth. And whatever body of Christ you come from, you need to make a commitment there and help that body go forward. Foremost in our preparation for this battle is sincere repentance for our sins and the sins of our fathers. If this spirit goes unchallenged by the body of Christ, it can do a lot of destruction. This evil spirit is accustomed to operating in secret without being detected or obstructed. So, by the simple fact that we sent everybody an email saying that this basilisk spirit was coming, the season was upon us, that was the first step in starting to defeat it. Us joining together corporately in prayer, we don't necessarily all have to be in the same room, but we just need to be in one mind and one accord saying, Father, help us defeat this basilisk spirit in this season. And we lift every one of our brothers and sisters up in Christ so that they make it through this season. That's another way that we're defeating this thing. It can't hide. The more we expose it to the light, the more it can't operate. The more we stop it from moving forward. I feel bad for the other churches who don't know what's going on. And their people don't know what's going on, and they're being devoured. So well hidden is the spirit that he did not even require the darkness of night to operate as most evil spirits. Basilisk can operate and even prevail in the brightness of the noonday. This demon prince has authority to release extensive destruction and misery in earth, especially if unopposed by the church. So this spirit isn't waiting for darkness to happen and doing its work at night. It's doing its work during the day. This demon prince is described in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 24, according to rabbinical writings. They shall be wasted with hunger, devoured by pestilence and bitter destruction. I will also send against them the teeth of beasts with the poison of serpents of the dust. The early rabbis taught that this passage could be accurately rendered, and I will fight against them with flaming demons. This basilisk demon is a flaming demon, and flaming demons are real. For the Jewish people, these 21 days extending from the 17th of Tammuz for us, which is July 9th, until the 9th of Av, July 30th, represents a notable time of bitterness and destruction. According to the rabbis, the demon prince that prevails during this time is called Ketev, meaning destruction, bitterness. Jewish rabbis regarded Ketev not solely as a plague, but a demon prince with authority to cause death and destruction through plagues. It was during this precise time that the Lord's prophecy concerning the destruction of Jerusalem was fulfilled. On the 17th of Tammuz, 70 AD, the Romans breached the walls of Jerusalem. For 3 weeks, Roman troops ransacked and destroyed the city until the 9th of Av, when they burned the temple down to the ground, fulfilling Matthew 24, verse 2. In both the Babylonian and Roman captivity, the temple was destroyed on this agonizing date. It is reported that during the Holocaust, the Nazis systematically chose the 9th of Av to carry out murderous and other demonically inspired actions against the Jewish community. The ancient leaders recognized that the righteous must be hidden in the secret place of the Most High during this time of trouble, which they believe was a dress rehearsal for the birth pangs of Messiah. I think this is an important point because we need to learn how to ask the Lord to hide us in the cleft of the rock. We need to learn how to say, Father, I'm applying Psalms 91 to my life now. I'm applying Psalms 91 to my loved ones right now. They're out there. They're in a mess. They're going through a battle. Don't let the enemy see them. I can tell you countless examples that I know of where this has happened. And certain types of actions should have taken place, but they were hidden because they were covered by the Most High God in a secret place. This works. I've seen it work. And as you apply it to your life and to the lives of your loved ones, you will be amazed at what God will do. In Isaiah 26:17-21, the prophet Isaiah speaks of the season where the righteous are directed to hide themselves while wrath and indignation take its course. So, as we read this, I want you to get rid of the mindset that says, I have to go into this battle and confront the demon. There's going to be times when God says to hide. That's different. That's different. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 17. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pains, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live. Together with my body, with my dead body, they shall rise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Take refuge from the coming judgment. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. This is a key point, and it's an important point. You have to know when to fight, and you have to know when to withdraw. Sometimes you're going to battle and you don't need to. Sometimes you're going to battle and God has called you not to go to battle. And you have to discern when it's time to go into hiding and when it's time to confront the enemy. Zephaniah 2:3 also prophetically forecasts a season when the godly are directed to seek the Lord, seek righteousness, and seek humility, and perhaps be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Zephaniah 2:3 Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now, according to the rabbis, the heat of the noonday from 12 o'clock p.m. until 3 p.m. was a time of extreme activity for this evil spirit. Basileus is the exemplification of the devil himself, whose primary purpose is death and destruction. The word basileus is derived from basiliscos, meaning kinglet or king, signifying a mythical reptile hatched by a serpent from a cock's egg. The Egyptian worshipped the spirit as the lord and king of serpents to all others, nor to be destroyed by any. They displayed a crown basilisk on the heads of their gods, as observed in the Bimbine table and other Egyptian monuments. This demonstrates Satan's attempt to elevate himself above God as an object of worship. Satan is always trying to get worship. He's always trying to steal God's attention, God's glory from him. And that's a sure sign when that goes on that's who's at work. Isaiah 59:5. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Again, Psalms 91:5-6. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So we don't have to fear anything that's going on with this basilisk spirit in this season. In Scripture, basilisk is sometimes translated cockatrice or adder. The Hebrew word for basilisk occurs in Psalms 91:13, Isaiah 14:29, Isaiah 11:8, Isaiah 36, Isaiah 59:5, Proverbs 23:32, in Jeremiah 8:17, and you can read those later. In Israel, this term is generally presumed to denote the cerastes, a horned viper, a very poisonous serpent, considered one of the most dangerous of all vipers. Clearly, the spiritual symbolism points to a prince of darkness diametrically opposed to the purposes of God and the earth. So, the reason why they're highlighting prince is because this is not just a typical level demon. This is one of those principalities and powers that really needs an archangel to deal with. So you have to be wise and discerning of what's going on with this. So make sure that you are using and asking for the angel, the archangel Michael, to come and assist you if you get entangled with this. In Daniel 10, we discover the prince of Persia was standing Gabriel, prohibiting the release of divine instruction for 21 days. The Lord is given specific permission to call upon heaven for the release and activation of the mighty warring angels, including the distinguished archangel Michael. Basileus has been delegated the power of death, the natural physical death resulting from the spirit is derived from plagues, sickness and disease, natural disasters, and even terrorism. It was believed in mythology that the power of death existed in his breath or even in the glance of his eyes. Few things please the Father. It was believed in mythology that the power of death existed in his breath or even in the glance of his eyes. But when we apply Psalms 91, we don't have to be afraid of what the enemy is trying to throw against us. In this season, we have to be unified. Few things please the Father more than to see his people in unity. Psalms 133, 1-2. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Though often geographically separated, we are united in purpose, with one mind and passion to defeat the enemies of our God. Don't we all want to see the enemies of God taken down completely? Because they've done so much destruction to so many people. And as we're united in that passion, God is going to join us and he's going to move. Like I said in the beginning, we already have the victory. We've already won. As one expositor put it, as the instruments of a great concert under the direction of a concert master, so the Holy Spirit blends together the lives of members of the Ecclesia of Christ, the Church of Christ. In closing, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4-6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the will of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. This is the time when God is calling us to draw together. He's calling us to walk in complete consecration and repentance. And he's calling us to lift each other up like never before. I believe that those in here who are feeling this pressure, you're still feeling this pressure on the inside of you, that the Lord wants to touch you tonight. And as you come to the altar, he is going to lift you up, fill you with encouragement, and give you the strength that you need to be able to go forth. So if you've been under extreme pressure, the altar's open for you to come forward tonight for God to break this off of you. Father, you know who needs to be up here right now for this anointing, and we thank you for bringing this anointing to destroy the pressure that your people are under and they're feeling. We pray, Father God, in one mind and one accord, that you hide everyone who comes forward right now in the cleft of your rock, that you hide them according to Psalms 91. Dry every tear. Relieve the pressures that are coming from the inside and the outside. We expose every darkness that the enemy is trying to use against your people to bring them down and to keep them from rising to the place that you want them to rise into.